morning, good evening, good coding campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for NFPN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
Hey. All right, well, thank you, Eric, and I want to welcome everyone back to another week. You're listening to NFPN Radio, the developer show that helps you understand and see what's going on in the technology world. My name is Mike Benkovich, and I'm joined today with Mithun Dar. How's it going, Mithun?
It's going great. We have a lot of good events coming up in Redmond, and, you know, our host, David Kelly, is actually going to lead some of these events.
Well, our guest is indeed David Kelly from the Silverlight User Group out there in Redmond, and we're going to have some fun today talking about what's new, what's going on in the Windows Phone 7, actually, and talking about the developer experience and how we can have some fun with all of that. But anyway, there's a lot of things going on in the technology world, and if you go out to msdn.microsoft.com, you can find out, you know, what all is happening. In fact, if you go out to msdnevents.com, you can actually sign up for a lot of these events that are happening in your neck of the woods. These include phone developer launch events and all kinds of good stuff. Really, we're talking a lot about the phone today. So how's things in Redmond treating you there, Mithun?
Oh, it's going great. You know, as the weather goes down, our community activities are increasing, and we're having lots of good stuff around here. We are thinking about putting together a Windows Phone 7 event. We just had a fantastic summer series of Windows Phone 7 events that the Silverlight user group did. And actually, David, who's our guest, spearheaded that whole series, mm-hmm. along with the Silverlight user group board. But you know, we're really excited here about the whole Windows Phone 7 launch, and RTM was just announced, so things are great.
Oh, that'll be great. Well, let's go ahead and let's introduce David Kelly, who is a Silverlight MVP, has been working kind of a developer in a design kind of a world. David, how are you doing today? Are you on there?
I'm here. I'm doing pretty good.
Well, welcome to MSDN Radio. We're glad you're able to join us. Sounds like you've been having quite a bit of fun playing around with what is a 60-foot wall you've got for Nike?
Oh, yeah. We did this great big touch wall for the World Basketball Festival. It was actually made out of a little section, 55-inch multi-touch display that we kind of jury-rigged from parts from Costco and a few other places and installed it in New York City.
Okay. And so this is actually up and running. People can go out and they can you got a lot of people interacting and working with this stuff.
Yeah, it's in Harlem. It's part of the events at I believe Madison Square Gardens and a bunch of other places around New York City. But if you want to drive to New York, you can go check it out. Or if you want to come down to our office in Redmond, I have one section of the wall here running in my office.
I drove to David's office. He gave me a demo. It is really cool. For anyone who is interested, you guys should definitely make a trip down. Also, David, aren't you bringing this to – you have a mini version running, and you're bringing it to one of the user group meetings, aren't you?
Yeah, so I have a mini version on a 25.5-inch touch display that I'll be talking a little bit about at the IXDA Interact conference on Thursday.
Wow, cool. You know, one of the things that's always sort of perplexed me is you develop phone applications, you developed really cool applications on the PC, and now you have the touch wall. How do you take user experience into consideration when the size of the screen varies from anywhere between, you know, 2.5, 3.5 inches to all the way to 60 feet? I mean, that's like a huge gamut that you cover. What sort of challenges do you face, and, you know, how do you overcome with it? And what are your considerations when you're developing the applications that are this varied in size?
Yeah.
So certainly there's a difference between developing a touch wall and then something for, say, Phone 7. you have this huge surface area, you have these intense graphics and all this other fanciness that's difficult to boil down to Phone 7. But when it comes to user experience, there's principles that apply to both. You know, it's all about engaging the user, making it interesting, easy to use, easy to understand. And whether it's a huge touch wall, a Surface machine, a PC app, or a Phone 7 app, it's about connecting with your users. And when you can get that user experience in front of them and interact with them and see how they're using your application and focus on helping the user accomplish whatever it is you're trying to help them accomplish, those same principles apply to whether, irregardless of the surface area of your app.
Uh-huh. So it's a matter of trying to understand what the user is going to try to accomplish with the application and then kind of thinking through kind of what their intent and how they might interact with it?
Well, yeah, it's thinking through that, but also watching how they actually do it and actually sticking them in front of users. You know, a lot of the users usability study stuff we've done over the past year on a number of our major projects has been about getting it in front of the users, and that's where we've learned of a lot of our lessons, like with some of the Surface apps we've done where, you know, if they see it on the screen, they're going to try to touch it, and if they don't see something happen, a lot of times they think it's broken. And learning what kind of gestures people are interested in, what they use naturally, you can really see that when you stick it in front of a user. So when you build your Phone 7 app, for example, and you use the paradigms that the users are familiar with, mm-hmm. it's much easier for them to discover what your application can do for them and how it can help them get there wherever they're trying to go.
Okay. Hey, there's a question in the queue from Sarah. I don't know. She's not able to dial in. But she's wondering, you know, where is a good place to learn how to get started in doing this multi-touch programming? Is there a good resource out there, or a good place where they can just start diving into it, or does it take some special access?
Well, to learn multi-touch programming, I guess it depends on your platform that you're doing it against. If it's Phone 7, yeah, there's some great stuff. Anything related to Silverlight, you can start on silverlight.net. There's lots of great podcasts out there, and Silverlight TV does a great job. I know I did one session on multi-touch Silverlight, and it's real with, like, Silverlight TV. John's done a great job of chopping everything into nice little segments. So that's a good resource, but anything related to Silverlight, silverlight.net's a great place. Now, if you get into other stuff like Surface or WPF, then, you know, maybe some of the WPF blogs by the WPF Disciples. It's a kind of a loose-knit group of Uber people that do WPF, like Dr. WPF. That's another a great blog. Those are some of my favorite resources for doing multi-touch. And local user groups is another great method. If you're just new to it, a lot of times if you go to your local user group, there'll be professionals there, and you can talk to them and interact with them directly. And most of the guys I know are more than willing to help anyone that needs help or has questions. Mm-hmm. And it's a good way to get kind of one-on-one help with the problems or solutions or whatever it is you need around trying to learn this stuff.
Is that how you got started with it, or did you have a project that kind of drove a lot of the direction you went?
So I guess I got sucked into the whole multi-touch thing with Silverlight and WPF, but back before it was Silverlight and WPF. Mm-hmm. I think the first I used to work for a company that was doing a lot of demos for a lot of these bleeding-edge technologies, and so we got to play with Surface and WPFE and back before it supported multi-touch and really do some really amazing stuff on screen from, you know, Entertainment Tonight, a bunch of keynote stuff. And that's kind of how I got sucked into it. And the more I got sucked into seeing just this amazing stuff on screen, I think the more I begin to appreciate kind of the creative approach to things with, you know, I had this friend that was a designer, and, you know, when I first met him, he was, you know, I just, why are you so hardcore about everything? I mean, does it really matter that it's this pixel off, or this is, you know, not the right font or whatever? And I think in seeing how well it can be done when it's done right, I think got me addicted. And so I got kind of sucked into that whole UX world of trying to make things as perfect as possible, and then engaging the users and how, you know, it's the little things that users appreciate. It really is. The tiniest little subtle thing with regard to UI that really can make it easier and more pleasant and make people go, hey, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like the smartphone that shall not be named, a lot of the coolness about that, it wasn't some big technology leap. You know, multi-touch had been around a while. There wasn't any, you know, major new piece of functionality. It was the user experience that really engages the user. And I think, like with Phone 7, there's so much more. It's really taking it to the next level, in my opinion. And that's what's kind of got me really hardcore sucked into the whole multi-touch world.
So really playing around and then having users sitting down and using the phone. I guess getting the devices out there will help to kind of capture that. But are there ways that people can you know, record the metrics of how things are working? I mean.
Yeah, so one of the things we've done, like with Phone 7, is I have two series of apps I'm working on, and one of them is called Parchment Apps. There's a social media game, there's like some a journal, and there's a little Morse code app that helps me with my ham radios and this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I've done is because that stuff's Silverlight code, I can write those applications in Silverlight and put a little like Phone 7 wrapper, and so I've been able to put a few of these applications in front of people and let them play with them, even though it's not in a Phone 7 environment. Like I have probably one I've done it the most. It's like an affirmation meditation sort of application. It's not really complicated, but it's kind of fun, and so it's written in a way that I can use that same code base. I can consume it on my Phone 7. Mm-hmm. I can consume that in Silverlight, and then I can present that to people, and they don't need to have the devices yet, and I can get feedback from them, and, you know, does this tool fit into your how you would use it, and by building those that composite application stuff and putting it out there for people to use, that's where I'm able to get some of my feedback now. Now, obviously, when I have a real device, it'll be much more compelling to put those in front of people and have them use it. But
right.
Having that stuff be able to work out of the phone out of the phone environment because it's Silverlight has kind of helped me with that.
So because you're a Silverlight developer, you can do the phone development. So with this show, we do have operators standing by, and we've got the opportunity for the audience to ask questions. And so if you have a question, all you have to do is just let us know that it's out there, and then we'll give you the dial-in number, and then you can go ahead and ask your question, and we'll put you in. And we actually have a question from Scott in Minneapolis, who's going to I guess he's got a question about well, I'll let you ask it, Scott.
Hi, Mike. Hi, David.
Hey, Scott.
I run the Silverlight user group in the Twin Cities, and our next meeting is actually going to be on WinPhone 7 and the panoramic control, and I'm wondering if you can lend any advice to the listeners about how you have to think differently as a developer for WinPhone 7 in terms of navigation for your app and maybe some tips around that.
Well, I think with Phone 7, one of the most exciting things for me has actually been the panoramic control, and it's been a lot of fun playing with some of the earlier versions of that. I think probably the biggest navigation issue or gotchas around that around this panoramic control is how you interact with some of the multi-touch behaviors. So if you have a couple of like multi-touch elements that you're trying to work with inside the panoramic control, I found that it can actually be problematic. I found the best Phone 7 apps that are easiest for people to use are when you have that top-level panorama and you're able to move through those sections, but when you get into complicated lists where you're doing other pinch and zoom and other kind of manipulation, it's, at least for me, it's been easier to push those into other pages. And one of the things I like about how Phone 7, from a Silverlight standpoint, has been presented is that it's easy to build that that navigation structure. So you have you end up having a navigation stack where you can go from, you know, panoramic control to another view and back, and that using whether it's the back button on the phone or some other interaction. I've noticed a couple of people trying to pull the panoramic control out of Phone 7, and I've noticed that in some cases it doesn't always work as well on larger screens. Something that you know, people need to consider. Just because it's for Phone 7 doesn't mean it's for everything else. But so that's my take on the panoramic control at a general level.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Scott.
No, I said we have a lot of questions on live meeting as well, and Joshua actually brings up a very
Joshua's on. Joshua, do you want to ask your question?
Sure.
Welcome to MSDN Radio.
Hi, this is Josh Blake. So my question was, how important do you think actual multi-touch is for Windows Phone 7 compared to just good design for single touch? It seems like a lot of apps could do just fine with just a single touch.
You know, to be honest, in all the UX stuff that we've done where we put multi-touch applications in front of people, whether it's on Phone 7 or Surface or WPF or TouchWall or whatever, there's really only a handful of things that really get used a lot. And that's mostly there's a few gestures like swiping and sliding things, touching, that sort of thing. And that all works great in single touch environments. And a lot of the applications on Phone 7 certainly work fine with single touch, so like the panoramic control. When you have an application that's all using the panoramic control and you have different kinds of content and you slide through it, really, does that need to be multi-touch? I don't think so, personally. Now, there's some environments where it's intuitive to use, tasks that it makes sense to have multi-touch. Like if you have an image and pinch and zoom, or you're working with Bing Maps, and again, pinch and zoom kind of tasks. So those kinds of tasks, I think, lend themselves to multi-touch easily. And there's other games and some other types of things that people do, but that pinch, zoom, and rotate from a multi-touch standpoint is like 95% of all the gestures that we typically see when people are working with multi-touch apps. Most of everything else, which is probably another 90% of the bulk of the touch interactions, are all single touch events. The only time we really see multi-touch in all kinds of different ways is when you move out of Phone 7 and out of WPF into something like Surface. But even on a large multi-touch Surface or like the touch wall, we really don't see that much outside of your pinch and zoom or rotate kind of behaviors. Does it answer your question, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Josh. We do have another question in here, and this is Jose, who's actually over in the UK. And he was curious about, you know, what is the roadmap to learn both Silverlight and the XNA interface development? So, you know, how would we go about doing that?
Well, you know, I'm not an XNA expert, so I don't know if I'm the best person to talk to about XNA. I think, you know, XNA and Silverlight are really somewhat different animals. You know, XNA is great for building really awesome games. And Silverlight is more of really a platform-independent way of delivering apps. So my same application can work great, you know, on Phone 7, on WPF, on Xbox or whatever, and in Silverlight, you know, the games are more, it's not going to be like a first-person shooter. I mean, you can do that, but that's really not, I don't think it's where it shines. And so for learning Silverlight on Phone 7, you know, I think the Phone 7 and Silverlight.net sites are probably your key paths to learning those technologies. And I know there's some great XNA stuff off of, like the Phone 7 site, but, you know, I've never used it myself.
Yeah. And just to up into that question, we had MSDN radio show with Dan Waters, who is an XNA expert. He also has a book on XNA, and that recording is available on Channel 9. You can also go to my blog, and it should give you a pointer. This is Mithun here. Another good place is so the XNA Creators Club put together this whole training series. So if you actually go to Creators Club and search for WP7 and XNA as keywords, you'll get a good list of training material to get started on. And it's actually an 8-part series, if I am correct and if my memory serves right. But yeah, you can download all of that content, and it gives you like how to get started, what to download, and gives you a lot of sample applications. So hopefully that'll help as well.
Yeah, that's some great resources. And another question in the queue, and this one is also from the UK, and it is from Martin, who is asking, are there any code samples or guidance for the developers and designers on how to implement the kinds of transitions between the different pages and list items? You know, and he says he's thinking about continuum and turnstile-ish kind of a solution. Do you know anything about ideas for that?
Well, so let me, I guess, restate the question a little bit. So he's asking about the transitions that the transition samples. And yes, there's a lot of stuff out there for transitions or working with animations inside the Phone 7 environment and there's to find, I guess, the different blogs for that. If you go out to Silverlight.net, there's a section of the site where they highlight other blogs. Or actually, another great place would be like Silverlight Cream, and that's a great place to see, you know, those kinds of resources, whether it's Silverlight or Phone 7. As to the UX. The whole designer developer thing, that's still a little light out there. Mm-hmm. And I think once we see more devices out there, there'll be a lot more posts or technical how-tos on how to do those kinds of things.
So it's a matter of getting to that point, and then there'll be obviously going to be a lot of good examples on how to continue doing this.
And we have another question from Kelly here. It is, how do you help clients understand that they need to think about UX and transitions? And basically, what will separate their app from their competitors?
Well, I think what's going to separate the one app from another app is about user experience. It's about, you know, the little subtle animations and transitions that you have in your application. And part of the whole Metro theme, if you go out to the Mix site, there's a couple of videos about Metro out there that are really good at a high level. But Metro is about using that motion, that animation to actually help users understand things. And so, like if you have your app, right, and you have, say, a map, and you open up something and the push pins kind of drop down into place, and there's nice, these smooth animations that help show you that it's 3D or that you can pinch or that help cue the user into understanding or to making things discoverable. Those are the kinds of things that are going to really make you one app shine over another app.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with the touch wall we built for Nike as a great example, where we're actually using two different they're like scroll lists that you can move. And normally that would be kind of a paradigm that probably wouldn't work, but by suppressing the one that's not in focus, but still giving it a slight, subtle animation was enough to allow the user to focus on what they want to do, but at the same time help them understand that, oh, yeah, there's something here, it's moving, it's maybe I should touch that.
Mm-hmm.
And little things like that, whether it's, how about if you have, like, four dots, right? You have four dots at the bottom of your application, and if that's all they are, people are going to just not know what that is. But as a design element, if they move, if they do something just even subtle, or one of them pulses or whatever, those little animations, those little visual cues help the user wonder or engage or find discoverable those elements. So, like, there's a list in one of the Phone 7 views I've seen where when you're scrolling through a panoramic control of these lists, but then when you select on it, that list comes up, and when you touch the element, then other little elements slide in, and you can see that you can interact with them. And those subtle animations, those subtle cues like that, help suck the user into that experience, as it were. And by keeping things clean but then using those metro elements to engage users, those are the kinds of things that are going to make one app shine over another app.
And to kind of get a feel for people who haven't seen the Metro interface, because we're talking about it, and we just make the assumption. One place people can get to kind of start playing around with this is by going out to developer.windowsphone.com and then downloading the tools and running the emulator, because that's got a real good example of how to play around with this stuff, right?
Yeah, it does. And I encourage people to watch some of the interaction videos. If you go out to just phone7.com, they have a nice just kind of interactive UI that you can play with, and you really kind of see how Phone 7 moves away from what we've seen with the other two phones that shall not be named, where those phones have this really great, engaging user experience, and a lot of that user experience is after you get into the apps.
Mm-hmm.
With Phone 7, what's really different is you have the ability to customize it around your particular workflow a lot more, and having your app fit into that Phone 7, that more immersive, engaging environment that's customized for users' needs,
mm-hmm.
is one of the things that I think will not only make Windows Phone 7 really shine, but also help your applications engage better with the target user, because you can do things with Phone 7 that are more molded around the particular user, and having the features in your application that help users do that for them,
mm-hmm.
really is, I think, one of the key things if you want to be the most successful with those applications.
Okay. Well, we have one more question, and I think then we're just almost out of time, but Juan down in Puerto Rico is asking, are there good resources that specifically target the user experience and its implementation on the phone, including like theory and sample code, and he's also asking, do you have any sample code that that we can find online? And what's your blog? Because that's kind of the key, because that's where we can find out where people can get more information, David.
Yeah, so my blog is hackingsilverlight.net, and I'll put a post with some links to some of the UX stuff. There is some resources out there. There's some from Mix. There's a guy, Luke, that has a video on his blog about teases and transitions,
mm-hmm.
and I encourage anyone that's interested in the UX or kind of the natural user interface paradigm for Phone 7 to take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls them teasing, but basically those are those subtle animations, those UX, little UX things that really draw people into the application and help them make things discoverable. And those are probably some of the best resources right now for learning some of that stuff. And so I would encourage people to check that out. And I'll do a blog post here in the next 20 minutes or so that links people to that stuff.
So this will be ready like in 20 minutes, which was
yeah, 20 minutes
countdown, 19 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, I have the links up in front of my open right now, but they include numbers and letters, and it would
sure.
be just too hard to read to get people to those. So I'll just cut and paste them into there and explain which ones are which, and people can take a look, and hopefully it'll help them build better UX on Phone 7.
Well, that's what we're hoping for.
Hey, David, this was fantastic. Thank you so much. Just before we wrap up, what user groups are going to be, and where are these user groups, and when they meet?
So there's two user groups around here that I'm involved with. There's the Seattle Silverlight user group that's doing their last Phone 7 series October 6th, and we hope to have a video of that put online. We have a video of that from the last one out on silverlight.net, and people are welcome to check that out. But this week we have a Interact, the user group, the designer developer user group in Seattle is doing a session on UX in games, which applies to Phone 7, but also any other game. And we have one of the designers from Xbox and Kinect presenting. And then Thursday, there's another IXDA Interact event where I'm talking about emotional connections with users, but I'll be talking about larger touch wall kind of interactions, but that'll apply to Phone 7 or any kind of UX. And then I'm also presenting at Dev Connections in Vegas here in 6 weeks or so, and I'm doing four presentations, two on Silverlight and two on Phone 7, and that's actually all I can think of right now. And those sites are all listed on either my blog, hackingsilverlight.net, or on interactseattle.org,
mm-hmm.
or the Silverlight user group is seattlesilverlight.net.
And they can follow the hackingsilverlight.net, your blog, and maybe you could post those links to these events up there as well.
Yep. I'll do that right here as soon as we wrap up.
Sounds great. Well, David, we really appreciate you coming on. And Mithun, it was a lot of fun today. So if you are participating in the show, we got a survey form that you can give us some feedback as to what you thought of today and what you'd like to see coming up. But that's it. We're out of time here. We'll talk to you again next week. I'm Mike Bankovich, and thank you for listening to MSDN Radio.
Thanks for coming, guys. See you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So that's it for this Monday. Go to msdnradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.